Welcome to By the Way, a half-hour conversation of topics that are of concern and interest to residents of Lancaster, York, and Dauphin counties. Produced exclusively for Hall Communication Stations 101 The Rose, Smooth Jazz 92.7, and Fox Sports Radio 1490 WLPA. Here's your host, Sue Sensenig.
And good morning and welcome to By the Way on this May morning. Hope you're having a great morning so far. I know that I'm enjoying my day. I've got my cup of coffee with me, and, well, that's never a bad way to start the day. And the other good way I like to start my day on Sunday morning is talking with interesting people and having you listen in on my conversations. And this morning I do have an interesting guest. And we're going to be talking about the state's tax amnesty program. And with me to talk about that is Representative John Baer of the 97th House District of Pennsylvania. That encompasses Manheim Township and Lititz, I believe.
And Warwick Township.
And
a small part of East Petersburg.
And a little bit of East Pete, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, John, thank you for joining me this morning on By the Way.
Thank you for having me.
The tax amnesty program began last month, runs through June 18th. For those who haven't heard about it, haven't seen anything on it, what is this program?
Sure. So what the heck is the Tax Amnesty Program? Well, the Tax Amnesty Program is simply a period of time that the Commonwealth is giving our taxpayers who are delinquent in their taxes. So if you owe taxes to the state of Pennsylvania, as of June 30th, 2009, you're delinquent, you're eligible to be part of this program. And that could be your personal income tax, it could be sales and use tax, it could be corporate. Any really taxes that we collect at the state level are eligible. And what we're giving people is a small window of opportunity to come forth, pay their taxes, and what we'll do is we'll waive the penalty and half the interest just for that period of time.
That's not a bad deal.
No, it's a great deal, and it's something we don't do very often. And really, we're doing this because it's a unique set of circumstances we're facing. We've only ever done this once before, about 13 to 14 years ago under the Ridge administration.
Okay.
And we're doing it again now because a couple things have happened. You know, one, we have over $2.1 billion of delinquent taxes owed to the state.
Mm-hmm.
Two, we're in the process of upgrading our computer systems because in the Department of Revenue, our systems are over 30 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're antiquated. And third, we have a really large budget deficit we had to deal with last year and that we have again this year. So we thought the timing seems right to give people an opportunity to become compliant with their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Just so listeners know, they're paying everything they owe plus half the interest, so it's not less. They're still paying more, but not as much as they would have paid if they would have done it outside the amnesty period.
Mm-hmm.
And we're giving them a very short time, up to June 18th, to do it, to file. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win all around. I mean, because at the end of the day, 97% of us pay our taxes on time. 3% do not. This amnesty period gives that 3% an opportunity to, again, pay up, pay less, and get back on the books.
Now, the period actually started last month, and when all is said and done, it will be a 54-day period.
Mm-hmm.
Of the money that is owed, how much is expected to be recovered through this tax amnesty program?
Well, our expectations are $190 million. So out of that $2.1 billion, with a B, billion, that is owed to the state and we think is collectible, we're saying we hope to get at least $190 million. So it's not a huge number. You know, I certainly hope that we exceed that number, $190, because if we do, if it's over 125% of that number, we put that money right back in our savings account, the Rainy Day Fund. And so that will help fix, I should say, help fill this year's deficit, which is at $1.1 billion right now. So anything we collect over that amount is going to help us for this year's whole. So certainly we can not have to raise taxes on anyone, because I certainly don't want to do that and or do drastic cuts.
Okay. So this money will help balance the budget.
Yes.
How close will it come? If we, let's say we're looking at the thought of $190 million.
Mm-hmm.
How close does that come to balancing the state budget?
Well, last year, the amnesty program that we were advocating for, that $190 million was a very important part, the final part of filling last year's budget hole, which was over, over $3 billion.
Okay.
So it's what we're talking about now, the fact that we're running this program, is at the very end of our fiscal year, mm-hmm. which ends June 30th. So it should be hopefully filling last year's hole. You know, the goal is if we exceed that, it could go to help fill a portion of this year's hole, which is at $1.1 billion.
Okay.
So it's you know, something we're hopeful that it does well. And one of the reasons I think they got this through at the end of the day is New Jersey did this very similar program back last spring. Mm-hmm. And they brought in over, it was about $740 million, I believe, in about 45 days. So it exceeded their wildest expectations and helped to go fill their holes too. So, and this is something we don't want to do for too often. I mean, you don't want to have people think that if they don't pay their taxes,
right.
that down the road, the government will always open an opportunity or a window of opportunity to really come back and be, you know, to get back up to speed. That's not what we're trying to do. But again, given the fact it's been 13 to 14 years since the last one, the fact that we have the historic deficits, we're upgrading our systems and a few other things, it makes the timing just right. Because the hope is, in a year or two, when we have our new computer systems,
right.
we can do a better job through the Department of Revenue of collecting these taxes in the first place. I mean, that's really what our hope and goal is at the end mm-hmm. of the day.
Now, you mentioned that New Jersey has had this amnesty program, and you know, as one of my questions leaps off the page to me, New Jersey just fits right in with it. For those who owe the taxes, they don't take advantage of this program. What happens to them? I mean, do we get Paulie Walnuts and maybe, you know, Cousin Guido to come across the river and take care of this?
Well, we are advertising. You bring up a good point. We are advertising across state lines. So if your corporations that are, you know, have to pay Pennsylvania tax, they are being encouraged, or individuals, to basically pay this tax now. So we are advertising across our state lines because there are those situations. So we certainly want them to do that. And I think we'll do okay. This thing started off like gangbusters the very first week. We're now in the second week, and I think the Department of Revenue is updating the numbers every Monday, I believe.
Okay.
So I think right at this point we're over $20 million that I'm aware of. But what I think will happen is often you'll get a lot of the individuals probably right off the bat that want
right.
to come out and pay up. But the corporations, some of the bigger people, I'm guessing they're going to hold on to their money to the very last minute until they actually have to pay. So
right.
I think the very last week of this amnesty program is where you're going to see a really big boost in the dollar amounts. And it'll probably be a week or two after that we'll have a really good idea what our final numbers are.
Sort of like the people that wait, that owe their federal taxes and wait until, you know, 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
on April 15th to go.
Sure, hold on to your money as long as you can. And,
yeah.
you know, and there's one thing I forgot to mention about this program. So certainly if you're delinquent as of June 30, 2009, you're eligible. We also sweetened the deal a little bit in that there's also people that never reported taxes that should, that aren't even on the books. We also in this program offered them an opportunity. What we did is we said, if you have been cheating the state and you've never been on this in the books in the first place paying taxes, we'll give you a limited look back. In other words, if you come clean now and come forward, mm-hmm. we'll only look up to no further than July 1, 2004 to what you owe. We
mm-hmm.
won't go beyond that date. So that's another opportunity. We're trying to get people to come forth, be on the books, and, you know, be legal
okay.
in how they're doing their work or business. And the last part of it I forgot to mention earlier, too, is if you do it now, we have a provision in the law that you can't do it in the future. And if you don't do it now, if you don't come clean now, mm-hmm. there's an additional 5% that's going to be added to your tax bill down the road.
Oh, wow.
So that's another incentive why you would want to do it within this period.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you know, having Paulie and Guido come visit you is one thing, but, you know, having to pay an extra 5% later on.
And maybe not everyone knows that, and I don't know if that's been advertised on the commercials, but that's another very important incentive and part of this
well,
that
definitely.
People need to know.
For those people who are hearing about it, who are saying, "Gee, I'm probably one of those people." Hello, where can they go to learn more? And I understand also that you can't just walk up, you know, to the post office or to your state representative's office and go, "Hi, I owe money." There actually is an application process.
Yes, and it's all online. So, I mean, certainly the representatives or senators, they can help you go to the right location. But I believe everyone has to do this online and file online
okay.
Via their websites. So that's a very important part.
Okay. Do you know the website address? Or?
I believe it's payup.com.
Yes. Actually, yes, it is.
So it's www.payup.com.
Okay. Switching gears a little bit here, I read in the paper recently, your name appeared in the paper. It's amazing how that happens when you're a lawmaker.
As long as it's good.
Isn't that the truth, huh? That it says here, and I'm looking at the Lancaster Intelligencer Journal, Lancaster New Era, that you would like to cut some state costs, mm-hmm. and by using a credit card.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
Well, and this really goes back to the amnesty program. Last year when I started advocating for tax amnesty, I was really trying to find ways to be creative to fill our budget holes. And this is just a continuation of that. I mean, I think it's no longer acceptable or good enough to merely say, what are we going to cut or what are we going to tax more? I mean, that's kind of like the old way of thinking. Now, certainly, from my perspective, we want to control our spending, number one, so we don't exacerbate the problem. You know, that's we don't want to do that. But then after we get our spending under control, we need to say, what can we do differently as government? And what we tried to introduce yesterday or this past week was a series of things that will make government operate more efficiently, that are revenue sources but have nothing to do with taxes, and we offered about 7 proposals. Now, getting back to what you mentioned, one of the first things we introduced, and I think is one of the most doable, is using purchase cards to buy goods and services. I don't know if folks realize this or not, but Pennsylvania spends almost $22 billion in goods and services every year. That's what we buy.
Okay.
And the way we pay for it is a little more traditional. If you look at purely the transaction volume, 71% is check, so 71% paper.
Right.
29% is electronic, whether it be wire transfer, ACH. I mean, that's the electronic part.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying is, if we just change the way we pay for our goods and services and go from check-based or even some of these electronic-based and go to a P-card, we can earn money back, much like people's Discover cards, much like credit cards.
Right.
We have customers and consumers that are very savvy. The state needs to be savvy. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. If we were to do that, we get 1.5% back, or basically 145 basis points on every dollar we spend. So if we were to say, if we spent about 20%, or if we paid our bills with 20% of the time with mm-hmm. the credit or the P card, we're looking at $60 million or so. If we got up to 70% of our purchases made with a P card, we're talking about $219 million annually, reoccurring revenue, that all it had to do is switch. I mean, all the government needs to do is say, you know what, this is where we need to do it. I'm going to give it a management directive, and I'm going to require those at the state level doing procurement, when they check off the box how we're going to pay for it, select P card. Because
mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania already buys $141 million goods and services with a P card.
Okay.
Let's just up the ante.
And also, it would be going green because you wouldn't have all those paper checks, paper envelopes, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you bring, not only is it green, but you are saving a tremendous amount of money in back office operations, which we haven't even been able to quantify. Because when you process a check, there's a cost associated with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is electronic, has a better audit trail, and far less manpower to do it.
And the less manpower actually does bring a question to my mind. Would people lose their jobs over this?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think you can use people in other areas. That
more efficiently.
This is all about efficiency.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And saving money so we don't have to do any some of the crazy tax initiatives that you're hearing about.
Now, your cohort on this proposal, if I can use that term in a pleasant
absolutely.
Sense.
Absolutely. She's a great lady.
The great lady who is working with mm-hmm. you on this is Representative Cheryl Delosier from Cumberland County.
Mm-hmm.
So she's also within our listening area.
Absolutely. And Cheryl's been very active in good government type initiatives for many years. She worked under the Ridge administration to identify efficiencies back when he was there. So this was mm-hmm. a really natural fit that she and I would start working together. Before I ran for office, worked with state governments across the country to save them money and make them more efficient. So it just was a perfect fit.
Oh, wow. That's great. Now, over the past few months, I've also interviewed or spoken with, had conversations, as I prefer to call these, with Representative Seth Grove of York County, mm-hmm. as well as fellow Lancaster County Representative Brian Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always asked them, what else is on their agenda? What other issues are they dealing with? And I pose the question to you as well. What are some of the issues that you're working on currently? What are some of the other things that you're passionate about?
Okay, well, first and foremost, changing the way government operates, being more innovative in our programs and our solutions, trying to help it basically fill all these holes that are plugged, that are coming loose, right? Or all the, you know, we have, it's like a ship hull. We have all these holes that are, okay, the water shooting through, and we're trying to plug them. Financially, try to help lessen the burden on the taxpayers by just being more fiscally responsible and coming up with creative solutions for government to operate more efficiently. That's number one. Number two is fair labor practices. Back in September, I came out to really to educate the public about project labor agreements. And what project labor agreements are is basically a form of mandatory unionism. Basically, government at any level, whether it be federal, state, or local, when they decide to do a public construction job, they can decide whether to make it a PLA. And what this means is this. If it's a PLA, anyone can bid on it, whether union or open or union or non-union. But if you're non-union and you win the work, all your workers have to come from the union hiring hall. So basically, if you're XYZ company and you're non-union and you win this job to build a prison, let's say, mm-hmm, if you win it, either you have to unionize all your workers or they have to come from someone else, okay, or somewhere else. And the bottom line is it's very discriminatory because 80% of our workers in the construction field are non-union, only 20% are. Okay. So that's one that I've been very passionate about and I'm trying to educate the people on. Mm-hmm. And certainly I've been very involved with veterans issues. A year or so back, we passed a bill, 2034, that will allow veterans that are in long-term care to continue to get their free medication, basically, or discounted medication from the Lebanon VA. If you're local here, it's okay, the Lebanon VA. So there's some things we're working out on that as well. And most importantly, coming up, we have a Salute to Veterans Weekend, which is May 27th. It's any veteran and a guest can come to the ball game. Basically, they get a free ticket and $5 Barnstormer bucks for food. And if they're interested in registering, please call my office, 626-1776. Again, 626-1776. Or they can register online at my website, www.repbear.com, and that's REPBEAR.com. And it's really exciting. It's our third year doing it, mm-hmm, and we're partnering with the Lebanon VA this year with their Welcome Home Veterans, mm-hmm, Ceremony. And we have tons of sponsors that really made this possible that couldn't do it without them. So we hope to get about 1,500 veterans out again, any guess.
To digress for just a second or veer off course, how did you get a phone number that ends in 1776?
Yeah, it was funny. My office in Harrisburg already had the number. I think it was several reps ago, many representatives ago, they had this number 1776, and I absolutely loved it. So when I got my office set up locally in Lancaster, I said, can I please have that number? And I got lucky. They didn't have a 1776 for the 626 number. So,
oh my gosh.
It's easy to remember.
Definitely, and it's so suitable for a lawmaker.
Yeah, we love it.
Stepping back to what you had been talking about, because once you said 1776, my head just sort of stayed on that number for a little bit. Working on veterans issue, mm-hmm, is that something that you obviously has been of interest to you since this is the third year that you've done Veterans Salute at the Barnstormer, mm-hmm, Games? Is that something that when you went into office was in either front or back of mind that, you know, now that I'm here, I can speak for them, I can represent that demographic?
Well, it's always been important to me, but I didn't realize some of the magnitude of some of the issues until I took office. And part of it was the wonderful VFW and American Legion I have in my area. Mm-hmm. I have two American Legions and one VFW post, and those men and women are absolutely fabulous. And the way we came up with this Salute to Veterans idea was one of the women from the post came to talk to me, and they said, you know, we really don't think veterans get the recognition they deserve. That too often, when we recognize veterans, it's in a closed-off room, whether it be a school auditorium or somewhere else, mm-hmm, and it's an award ceremony, but the only other people in the audience are other veterans. They said, that doesn't seem right. These are proud people that, mm-hmm, deserve to be recognized. They sacrifice so much for this country and sometimes just go forgotten once they come back. Right. We need to do something in a public venue. And I shot back and I said, well, if we do it for the veterans, we need to do it for their family too, because they sacrifice just as much as the, mm-hmm, veteran. Why not do something truly Americana? How about a ball game and a movie?
Yes.
And she liked it, and it just took off from there, because I forgot to mention earlier, for our Salute to Veterans Weekend, not only is it a ball game, But we also have Penn Cinema is doing a free movie for the first number of people to get in there on the Saturday. So Thursday 27th is the ball game, the Barnstormers,
okay.
and then the game or the movie the very next weekend. So
oh, wow.
This is how it came about. And I'll tell you what, what made it happen was the VFW, the American Legion, but then I got to talk about my wonderful sponsors. We have people in our district that are not only defense contractors, but they really care about giving back. Places like CCAN Electronics, Thermacore, mm-hmm. I have fluid conditioning products. They all do stuff with the military. Mm-hmm. But then I have wonderful companies like Stauffer's of Kissel Hill,
yes.
and Penn Cinema. I mean, I would not be able to do it without them because there's no tax dollars really used on this. It's from these corporations donating this service and time. So I can't say enough to them for doing that. It's a really wonderful service. And I tell you, every year this has grown. This year we have an hour pregame show with a pipe and drum band. We have the Valley Forge band down.
Okay.
All kinds of things going on. And we even hope to get a flyover. We're working on that really desperately. But every year, this thing's been growing and growing and growing.
And that's amazing. And the Barnstormers are a great organization yep. to work with. And you know, you can't go wrong at Clipper Stadium.
Yeah, and it's a great venue. And the Barnstormers have been wonderful to work with. And, you know, when we first conceived this idea, you know, I said, we might get 200 people. Who knows? Well, when we put out the tickets and announced this in the paper, my office became like a phone call center, more or less. It was ringing off the hook. And I had to go back to my sponsor and say, hey, you know, we're at 200. I think we might hit 500. Then I go back like a week later. I'm at 700.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like the next thing I know is 1,000. I said, okay, this is great, 1,000. And then it kind of stopped. But it exceeded our wildest expectations. Mm-hmm. And the men and women come are just so moved by it. I'm moved by it. Mm-hmm. And again, there's so much we need to do for these folks. And that's why I did my bill the other year, because prior to our law change, these veterans would get their medication from the Lebanon VA for $8 a month. But the minute they got sick and went to a long-term care, they lost that benefit and they had to pay full market rates on their medication, which basically, you know, wipes them out, and then they go right on Medicaid. So our law changed that, saying they could repackage these medications into single doses so they continue to get it once they're at the long-term care.
You know, one of the things that I love to do when I'm out, if I see a veteran wearing a hat, mm-hmm. especially, you know, the Navy veterans are great for wearing, you know, their ship hat with the word retired. One of the things that I truly love to do is, you know, stopping the person, or mm-hmm. else, you know, stopping by if I'm at McDonald's or Burger King and they're sitting in another booth and thanking them. And so often, it's not so much the veteran, but the person with the veteran, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, the husband, the wife, the grandkids, who the look on their, and I don't do it for mm-hmm. them. I do it because I think we should be thanking them, but the look on the family's faces, that's, you said it too, you know, they deserve thanks yep. for this as well.
And, you know, the stories that we've gotten since doing this event, it's been a reunion in some cases where men and women who served hadn't seen each other in 15, 20 years.
Oh,
they met together at the ball game. Great stories there. I've had men and women come up to us and say, you don't realize how much this means to us, mm-hmm. that this is the nicest thing anyone's done for us since we came back from the service, which completely blew me away.
Right.
I had no idea what this meant to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the people that really helped me with this last year was Dick Hawksworth as well, mm-hmm. as a former vet. And he's
fine
doing it again
man.
This year. So I didn't want to forget mentioning Dick. He has been a key part of this pregame show. And he can articulate so well what these men and women go through.
And he's got a voice that he could read the phone book.
He could.
Yeah. He could read the phone book, and I don't think anyone would stop him until maybe letter Q. And that would be for a bathroom break.
Yeah, it's very soothing, and he speaks very deliberately and purposely, and we love having him on board. So it's one of these things that just came together really nicely, so we're really proud about it.
Now, going back to some of the other issues mm-hmm. You know, that you've been involved in your time in Harrisburg, you know, are there things that you've wanted to do and haven't yet accomplished?
Oh, there's so much to do in government at any level. And really, these next few years will probably be the most challenging. So no matter who the governor is or what the legislature looks like the next term, we have a multitude of issues to deal with. Because even though I do think the economy's turning the corner and picking up slowly, we won't see those revenues for a while. And we have huge things to worry about. For example, these last 3 years, theoretically, shouldn't have been that tough on the budget because we had $10 billion from the federal government, stimulus money, to spread over 3 years. Next year, that money goes away. So this is the last budget cycle we have that money for. Mm-hmm. So in 11, 12, we're probably looking at a fiscal deficit, a structural deficit of probably $3 to $5 billion before we even get out of the gates. Then we have the issue of transportation funding. Recently, I-80, the tolling of I-80, basically the application for that failed. Right. We have about $400 million there to plug, $800 million to get back to the MCARE fund that was there for doctors' insurance payments for malpractice. And then we have pensions, which you probably hear a lot about. Yes. We have about $9 billion that basically we think is unfunded liability between CSRS and PSRS for the state workers and also the teachers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to figure out some solutions to some of these challenges. And there's many more other things to deal with. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think in a year or so, the federal government's going to look at us and say, well, we don't have any more money. At the state level, we're going to have to, you know, we're not going to have anything left. And it's going to all trickle down to the local level. And I think that's when, if it hits property taxes, then that'll create the political will to maybe take on some of these bigger challenges that we had to address. But, yeah, it's going to be tough for the next couple of years. But with these challenges come, I think, really historic and wonderful opportunities. And it's really all what you do with these opportunities. Mm-hmm. But we got to start thinking innovatively. We got to think out of the box. And, you know, from a Republican's perspective, you know, we always talk about, people say we're the party of no. I say, no, we need to be the party of innovation ideas. And that's really what I'm trying to push for. So if you ask me what I'm passionate about, it's taking on some of these challenges that are out there in the public arena, doing it in a way that's creative, and also have a conversation with the taxpayers all along the way and say, what do you think? But having that honest conversation back and forth. Just don't do it in a vacuum.
In the next 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to be very busy. June 30th, I think, is on your calendar in Harrisburg. I think it's circled in red as D-Day, the day that you need a new budget by. And last year, we all know that June 30th came. June 30th went.
Yep.
As did July, August, September. All those little 30ths came and went. Is there a possibility... honestly, and you did mention, yeah, be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a possibility that June 30th will come and go again this year and will be a state without a budget?
You know, I've not been, since I took office, this is my fourth budget, and I've never had a budget on time under this administration. So if you look historically at the governor's record, he's 7 for 7.
Mm-hmm.
And given we have a $1.1 billion hole this year, I don't see why he won't make it 8 for 8.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that's acceptable. Doesn't mean it's a good thing. I don't know how. We have a lot of work to do between now and then to figure out ways that we can fill this hole. And the problem is, once again, we have philosophically very different views.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I heard from my colleagues in the House Democrats when we announced yesterday the 7 ideas that had nothing to do with taxes but really government efficiencies. I think the woman from Appropriations said, we're not interested in these ideas. We just want to tax big business and big tobacco. And I thought to myself, now that's not very constructive. I mean, here we're having ideas that have nothing to do with partisan politics. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This is good government. This is, if you know, and if you can find ways to do things differently to save taxpayers money, why be so entrenched in your ways of, well, we got to tax this group and we got to tax this group? I mean, come on. So, I mean... And now you can see the passion coming.
Yes,
I'm building some energy here.
We're going to harness that. Yeah,
this is what concerns me. So I hope we get done on time. I certainly hope it doesn't go way past July. But you know, when you have that kind of mentality, that when you put out ideas that aren't Republican or Democrat, but just good ideas, or at least worth talking about, and someone shoots them down because it doesn't involve taxes, that's a bit problematic. And you know, the mindset just never stops to blow me away. I mean, I just can't believe that people are even saying that kind of thing.
Well, John, I hate to stop you at this point because
we're getting warmed up.
I know. The momentum's going here.
Half hour.
But we do have to stop because there's music behind me. There's sports talk behind me, and it's going to push us out the door in just a few moments. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
I've so enjoyed our conversation. Representative John Baer of the 97th District, I wish you, as I wish all of my listeners, safe and happy travels.
Take care.
By the Way is a production of Hall Communication Stations 101 The Rose, Smooth Jazz 92.7, and Fox Sports Radio 1490 WLPA. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests of this program are strictly their own and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Hall Communications, its ownership, staff, or management. If you would like more information...